The following program is an encore presentation edited for broadcast at this time. Welcome to Our Shepherd's View, an in-depth discussion with the Most Reverend Michael Mulvey, 8th Bishop of the Catholic Diocese of Corpus Christi. Join us now as Bishop Mulvey reflects on issues and events facing Catholics and people of all faiths.
Good morning, South Texas, and welcome to Our Shepherd's View on this most holy body and blood of Christ, also known as the Feast of Corpus Christi. I'm Barbara Little, here with Bishop Michael Mulvey, and today we will hear and discuss the Gospel from St. Luke. Please stay with us, and we will be right back.
I am with you always. The Eucharistic Congress 2022 will run from June 18th through 25th. A number of activities will take place, including the lead-up to the event, the Feast of Corpus Christi. During the week-long event, there'll be opportunities for the faithful to sign up to spend time with the Lord in adoration. The Sacrament of Holy Orders to the Priesthood will be celebrated in the Cathedral on June 18th. June 24th's opening Mass will celebrate the 110th anniversary of the Diocese of Corpus Christi. June 25th, the Eucharistic Congress Conference will take place at the Omni Corpus Christi Hotel, followed by individual parish celebrations on June 26th. A complete schedule of events can be downloaded at diocesecc.org/EC22.
Welcome back to Our Shepherd's View. Well, good morning, Bishop, and how are you this morning?
I'm very well, and happy Feast of Corpus Christi.
Yes, it's a special day for our city.
For our city, our diocese, for the church, for all of us, for personal reasons, and a great day.
Yes. Yes, it is. Well, as I mentioned in the beginning, our gospel this morning is from St. Luke, so if we could prepare our hearts and minds to listen to his word.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke. Jesus spoke to the crowds about the kingdom of God, and he healed those who needed to be cured. As the day was drawing to a close, the 12 approached him and said, "Dismiss the crowd so they can go to the surrounding villages and farms and find lodging and provisions, for they are in a deserted place here." He said to them, "Give them some food yourselves." They replied, "Five loaves and two fish are all we have, unless we ourselves go and buy food for all these people." Now the men there numbered about 5,000. Then he said to his disciples, "Have them sit down in groups of about 50. They did so and made them sit down. Then taking the five loaves and the two fish and looking up to heaven, he said the blessing over them, broke them, and gave them to the disciples to set before the crowd. They all ate and were satisfied. And when the leftover fragments were picked up, they filled 12 wicker baskets." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. Bishop, as I was preparing for this gospel today, I was reading that Luke's account of this miracle of the loaves and fishes, it's one of the first narratives that have a Eucharistic connotation. There was the Last Supper, and then with the disciples on the road to Emmaus, it's kind of similar situations.
Right. Yeah, and then, you know, this is where it's important to always to put these stories, you might say, into context. If you look a few verses before the actual beginning of the gospel that we read today, we see that the apostles had been out on mission and they were coming back and they wanted to share with Jesus what had happened. So you might say it was an intimate moment. It's like if a son or a daughter returns home after the first semester or first year in college or first few weeks at work, and they want to share what they've learned about life and about things. So an intimate moment, you might say, about themselves with their parents, but in this case, being sent by the Lord and want to spend some time with him and he with them. and here come the crowds, mm-hmm. kind of bursting through the front door and wanting to present their needs. And it, one thing it says to us about Jesus, and of course we always have to focus on Jesus himself and what he was communicating to them, what he was doing for them. He puts the human needs of these people who wanted to be close to him but were also hungry, he puts their needs first. He wants to take care of them. So he interrupts his personal time with the apostles to reach out to their needs. And so he, as St. Luke says here, he cured them, he healed them, he was listening to them, he was teaching them, he was looking after their needs. It also says to us that there are human needs in all of us. There's something much deeper than just a physical hunger that these people and that we experience. And Jesus knows that, being God, but also becoming a human being like us, he knows that deeper need, that deeper longing, that kind of unsatisfied part of us that is always longing for more. And so we can obviously see when you talk about the Eucharistic theme mm-hmm. that Jesus is not wanting to just feed them mm-hmm. physically to give them rest. And of course, of course, that's first in the narrative, but we have to look deeper into that he wanted to feed them with something else, and that is to feed them with himself. And so the narrative continues on like that.
Mm-hmm. Well, and as you mentioned, we were talking before we started the program that this particular miracle of the loaves and fishes is the same one in all four Gospels.
Right. Yeah, it's something that's shared in all the Gospels. It's a beautiful thought. And you know, I think it puts into context our whole life in the Eucharist as Christians, that the Eucharist is at the very heart of the Church, and as we say, that the Eucharist creates the Church and the Church creates the Eucharist. So we are given the Eucharist, and it's the Eucharist that makes us one, the body of Christ, both in sacrament, but also in being gathered as the body of Christ, the one body united in Christ. But it's also the Church that through the liturgy, through the sacraments, which I'd like to talk about in the second portion of our program, it's the Church that creates the Eucharist, and this is the great step of faith for us. But what's interesting here, of course, there's many interpretations that people can mm-hmm. put into this. If we just look at it on the face value, we could say that Jesus, you know, took these five loaves and two fish, and that's all we have, and have the people sit down, and they did, and they were about 5,000 men, which means there's many more besides them. Mm-hmm. But what's interesting also in St. Luke's Gospel is he puts them into groups of 50, into small groups. Mm. And then he blessed the loaves, and they multiplied. So we could say on surface there was a miracle here, which obviously there was. Others have said that in the groups of 50, they may have put other provisions that the people themselves had in common. And so it was when you put what you have together that things multiply.
Potluck.
So, but, you know, I think we have to also respect the fact that Jesus, you know, did multiply mm-hmm. From himself because he wanted to feed these hungering people. But it also says to us the other interpretation that the more we put together what we have, the more we can do with it. Mm-hmm. Some of us hold things pretty close to ourselves and to our own feeding ourselves. And if it were shared with each other, whether it's spiritual goods, material goods, even food, that we can feed much more. We can do more things with it. I think even in our parishes, we're talking about sharing ministry, sharing even administrative help with one another so that we don't take the resources of we put our resources together so that we can do much more with it. I mm-hmm. think this is something that we need to look forward to as we go down the road. But the multiplication is a multiplication of God's goodness in for us, that, mm-hmm. that the Lord wanted to feed us and feed the people and feed us today even as we look at the Eucharist. I think what's another thing that I find always beautiful in this, and we repeat it in the Eucharistic words, too, at the Mass, which we'll talk about in a moment, is the idea of blessing, that Jesus blessed the loaves. And I found a Jewish saying, which I would take that is true. I don't know I've never heard it myself, but it says, "He who enjoys anything without thanksgiving, it is as though he has robbed God."
Oh, that's beautiful.
It's an amazing thought and reality that if we don't thank God for everything, so when we bless our food at the meals, as we celebrate the Eucharist, it says the Lord broke the bread, he blessed it, which means thanking God. And this is a gift from God.
Right.
So even in this moment, as Jesus is with his people, he wants them to know it is God who is feeding you.
Mm-hmm.
Physically here, and through this miracle of the multiplication of loaves, but also God who wants to feed us spiritually in our life and for whatever need is. St. John Paul II spoke of the world's deepest yearnings, and we could certainly put names to that yearning, you know, yearning for home, yearning for love, yearning for mercy, yearning for acceptance, yearning for forgiveness, so many things that are so deep in the human person that we long for, we yearn for. The first thing we need to do is bless God.
Right.
And in that way, we don't rob God of the ability to fulfill those needs, which we believe is, of course, in Jesus Christ. And so whenever there is a hunger in us, it's first of all to bless God, that any response to that hunger is a blessing. It's God's gift to us, and that we should never forget that.
That is such a beautiful line there, robbing God. I mean, you know, to think about robbing God, it's like, oh, I'd never want to do that.
Yeah, when I was preparing, I saw that, and it struck me so beautifully that to not rob God. And I think how many times we're even in a restaurant or something, we just rush into the meal and to think, you know, that's my money that bought it. It's, it's all about forgetting the source of everything in life.
Mm-hmm.
But without anything that we do without thanking God first, it's as if we are robbing God of that gift. So. So anyway, Jesus certainly brings that out here. And you even look, you know, if you go to St. John's Gospel, when Jesus raised Lazarus from the dead, the first thing he did is he blessed God. He thanked God because it was God's miracle. It was the miracle of the Father to bring this. And finally, at the end of this particular passage, the scene of the multiplication of the loaves and the fish, that at the end they gathered it up and there was more than they needed. And abundance. And this is probably the great miracle that in life, you know, with this reliance on God, with this abandonment of ourselves to God's love, there's more than enough. You know, the more we try to force the goods of the earth into our way of seeing and thinking and using, we run out.
Mm-hmm.
But to know that God is Father. And whatever we need, there's more than enough when we allow him to respond to our needs and our deepest longings.
Mm-hmm. It's a wonderful thought for us to think about, that there's plenty to go around. Thank you, Bishop. We are going to take a short break, and when we return, we will continue our conversation. Please stay with us, and we will be right back.
Every year, the Church is called to reflect upon and celebrate youth and young adults. The International World Youth Day celebration takes place every 2 to 3 years. The next one is slated for Tuesday to Sunday, August 1st through 6th, 2023, in Lisbon, Portugal. It's an opportunity for millions of pilgrims from every continent to join with the Holy Father in prayer, worship, and in celebration of the Catholic faith. The Diocese Office of Youth and Young Adult Ministry will be holding special events leading up to World Youth Day. If you are interested in going on this pilgrimage, please contact Margie Rivera, 361-882-6191.
Welcome back to our Shepherd's View. Well, Bishop, you had mentioned in the first part of the program that you were going to talk about the words of institution in the Mass, this part of the program.
Right. And I appreciate the opportunity on this Feast of Corpus Christi to be able to do this. It's, you know, the Eucharist, what's most important to all of us can be also the source of division. You know, things that are important in a family, there can be disagreements over these things. And unfortunately, you know, through the years, there's been such disagreement regarding the Eucharist. But I'd like to just kind of go back to the source. Of course, to the scripture, St. Paul's description in the letter of St. Paul to the Corinthians, but also the narrative, the institutional narratives that are found in the three Gospels, the Synoptic Gospels, and of course, St. John's sixth chapter, speaking of the bread of life, that whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life. So it's well rooted into this, into the scriptures, the Word of God, and in St. Paul's writing. Of course, St. Paul's is the earliest of the written accounts of the Eucharist. But when we celebrate the Mass, the focal point is, of course, the Word of God, that we hear the Lord speak to us. We say, this is the Word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. We're again thanking God, as we said earlier. And then we move to the second part of the Mass, the Eucharist, the Eucharistic part of the Mass. And I would just like to bring to our attention, after we prepare through the offertory the gifts, then we say, and I'm using Eucharistic prayer number 2, which is the earliest account that we have, that we have passed on in tradition. But it starts off by saying, "You are indeed holy, O Lord, the fount of all holiness." So speaking to God the Father, you're the fount of holiness. It's not anything by our merits that we can do. And so then we plead with God to make holy, therefore, these gifts, the gifts of bread and wine, by sending down your Spirit upon them like the dewfall, so that they may become for us the body and the blood of our Lord Jesus Christ. It's the action of the Spirit. Sometimes as we celebrate Eucharist, we forget, you know, we get caught up in the externals at times. But I think we need to, in our own selves, return to the very simplicity. And that's why I use Eucharistic prayer too, is the simplest. But to return to the simplicity there, what are we doing here? We're calling the Holy Spirit from God the Father, who is the source of the Spirit, asking him to send his Spirit upon these gifts, like the dewfall, in a gentle manner, so that they may be transformed into the body and blood of the Lord. So what we do then from that point is the action of the Spirit. The priest, who is himself anointed with the Spirit as priest to offer the sacrifice, is the instrument through which this happens, but it is the Holy Spirit. It's the action of the Spirit of God who transforms bread into wine. And so then we go down a little bit further and say that at the time he was betrayed, it's important to understand that Jesus, what he was doing was leaving a memorial for us. "I am with you always until the end of time," is what he said to us. When we love someone, we want them to stay. We have a hard time with this departure, the death of a loved one, especially when it's tragic. But even watching someone, even at an old age, pass away, there's a lack of something that we miss. And so at the time he was betrayed and entered willingly into his passion, he died for us willingly. He took bread and, giving thanks, broke it and gave it to his disciples. So he's at table at the Passover a feast for which they were gathered, and he took the bread and he changed the words and he said, "Take this, all of you, and eat of it, for this is my body, which will be given up for you." So the remembrance that he wanted to leave us is that this is his body. And the early writers, I mean very, very early, just after the a few years later after Jesus died, said, there's one that says that if he said, "This is my body," it is. I mean, there was that simplicity of faith, that understanding, this is his body, because he wanted to leave, he wanted to be with us always. And so there's a transforming action that's happening here through the Holy Spirit. "This is my body, which will be," In other words, on the next day, on the cross, it will be given up for you. Jesus then gives up himself for us on the cross and leaves this memorial, this moment, to bring that sacrifice of himself, that greatest love, into our lives, even today. And so as we celebrate the Eucharist, as we celebrate the body and the blood of the Lord, every time we say Mass, we are bringing that personal gift of self, that personal love, that personal sacrifice of self into the present moment of our day, of our life, and being able to participate in it so that he is not far away. I am with you always until the end of time. And then secondly, in a similar way, when the supper was ended, he took the chalice and once more giving thanks, so that offering thanks to the Father, that this is a gift from the Father, not robbing the Father, as we said earlier, not robbing the Father of the reality of his gift. This is his gift to us. So in a similar way, when supper was ended, he took the chalice and once more giving thanks, he gave it to his disciples saying, "Take this, all of you, and drink from it, for this is the chalice of my blood, the blood of the new and eternal covenant." So this is the bond, the chalice of covenant, the presence of God with us in his life-giving blood, washing our sins away, which will be poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. And then he, of course, says, "Do this in memory of me." So on this day in which we celebrate the feast of the body and the blood of the Lord, it's important, I think, for us to take a time and just to deepen those words in our own life. Again, we can go every day to Mass and these words just kind of rattle on and we might be thinking of other things when we're celebrating Mass. I know for myself, a lot of things are on our mind and I have to make the personal step to put everything aside and to realize what I'm saying, to know what I'm saying, and to believe what I'm saying, to put myself into that. And say the similar way for anyone who's attending the Mass, it's not to be there filled with other thoughts, other attachments. This is the moment of encounter, and I think it's important to use that word. It's an encounter with the love of God, that God is reaching out to us through his Son, and the Son through the memorial that he left us in his body and his blood, that he is truly present there. This is something that everybody would struggle with. It's because it's an act of faith. It means it's reaching beyond the reason, the gift of reason, which beautifully we have, the gift, but it's entering into memory, the memorial sacrifice of looking back and bringing forward, looking back, but also bringing it into the presence that in this moment, God is here with me, that Jesus in his love through the Spirit, so you have a Trinitarian notion here, gift from the Father through the Son, his sacrifice brought to life in the Holy Spirit today. To be enwrapped in that is a true act of faith for us, but it also is what feeds us, going back to the gospel that we just read in the first portion, the gospel of today, the feeding of the multitudes. He wants to feed us. He wants to be present to us. He wants to satisfy our hungers and our longings and our needs, and it's right there in front of us. Mm-hmm. It takes an act of faith on our part, a grace from God, to reach beyond our skepticism, our doubts, our closed-mindedness, whatever it is that may block us from that presence of God reaching out to us saying, "I'm here, I'm here, I'm here." I'd like to, we only have a few minutes, but I'd like to read an account from St. Teresa the Little Flower. I think, when you go to these very, very young saints, they really had no theological, and I respect theology, but she really had none of that. She had a love. And her whole spirituality was the simplicity of love. And here's something here's an account of what she spoke of when she encountered the Eucharist, the body and the blood of the Lord, the presence of Jesus in Holy Communion. And I'll just read it straight through as a commentary to what I've just said. She writes, My heaven is hidden in the host, where Jesus, my spouse, hides himself out of love. What a divine moment when you, O my beloved, in your tenderness, come to transform me into yourself. This union of love and rapture sublime, this is the heaven that is mine. Jesus, each morning, transforms a white host into himself in order to communicate his life to you. What is more, with a love that is greater still, he wants to transform you into himself. I think that's an incredible thought, that in that white she could see as a young 20-year-old when she's writing this, 22 maybe, saying that each morning you transform that white host, that white piece of unleavened bread, into himself, to communicate himself to me, to give him, to give me that means, that transmission through something physical, because God became man. He was incarnate. And so Jesus leaves something that is tangible, a sacrament, we call it. Sacrament is tangible. So he leaves that sacrament in his the white host and in the wine transformed into blood, so that we can communicate with it. When we say we go to communion, we are communicating, not just one way, not just me taking, but me receiving and me giving myself. And that's where she says, not only him transforming himself for me, but transforming me into him. So I have to let go of myself to be received by him. So these are beautiful thoughts, and certainly something that all of us can consider on this day, what it means to communicate with the body and the blood of the Lord, that he is so present to each one of us through his body and blood.
Thank you, Bishop. And again, it's a special day for our diocese and for all of us. If you could end our session this morning with a prayer and a blessing.
O God, who in this wonderful sacrament have left us a memorial of your passion, grant us, we pray, so to revere the sacred mysteries of your body and blood, that we may always experience in ourselves the fruits of your redemption, who live and reign with God the Father in the unity of the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever.
Amen.
Amen. And may Almighty God bless you, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.
Amen. Thank you, Bishop, and thank you for sharing your Sunday morning with us. Have a wonderful rest of your day and a blessed week.
This has been Our Shepherd's View with the Most Reverend Michael Mulvey, Bishop of Corpus Christi. If you have questions for the Bishop, write to Our Shepherd's View, 1200 Lantana, Corpus Christi, 78407. Or we invite you to email your questions and comments to osv@klux.org. Our Shepherd's View is a production of CCN, the Catholic Communications Network. The preceding program was an encore presentation, edited for broadcast at this time.